This whole idea of cool as applied to emerging technology and social innovations has become a global language, and foreign policy analyst Elmira Beirazli found that language being spoken everywhere she traveled for her new book, From the Other Side of the World, Extraordinary Entrepreneurs, Unlikely Places. She says battling uncool and corrupt governments and monopolies that stand in the way of entrepreneurs only makes them stronger.
When you think about entrepreneurs outside of the United States, there's often this perception that they're doing handcrafts and they're doing micro things. And when I've traveled around the world, I've found that not to be true. I've found entrepreneurs like the men and women in my book who are leading globally competitive companies, who are solving problems in their own countries that also have global application. We constantly count out countries outside of the United States when it comes to high-scale Silicon Valley-like innovation.
In the case of Mexico, which is an interesting case in point, you describe a story of an individual who's really had great success working against some very stubborn institutions, both politically and in corporate terms. And, you know, whether we're talking about Carlos Slim or in the energy sector where you focus, the wealth that comes from thinking differently and working around these institutions is really the story in places like Mexico. How did you find the characters that you discovered in Mexico?
Enrique Gomez Junco is my entrepreneur that I profile, and he founded a company called Optima Energia. And as you point out, Carlos Slim, I think, is one of the most famous figures around the world, but he's also one of the obstacles that I look at in my book, which is monopolies and big business. And this has often prevented entrepreneurs around the world from really starting businesses and scaling them up. What Enrique did was, instead of trying to replicate something that either Carlos Slim did or something that one of the other big monopolists in Mexico did, he decided that he was going to focus in on alternative energy. In Mexico, until recently, energy has been in the hands of the government, which in many ways is also a monopoly. It was state-run, both the oil sector and the electricity. And when it was in the government's hands, neither of those sectors had any innovation. So what Enrique decided to do was he was going to focus on solar panels, and he made that succeed. But then he also found ways to work on energy efficiency and helping hotels save on air conditioning and lighting. He honed in on a sector that had not been dominated by any of the big businesses, but then also was helped by globalization.
How did that scale up? Because he's not anything to sneeze at. I mean, he's a serious entrepreneur at this point.
Absolutely. One of the reasons that we're starting to see entrepreneurship scale up around the world is the phenomenon of globalization that's happened over the past several decades that has erased economic borders. It's allowed countries like India, China, Turkey, and Mexico to rise up. And so you're seeing those economies grow. I think that the monopolists, both the Mexican government, but then also Carlos Slim, have seen that with the rise of globalization, competition has become global. And so no longer can they just compete in their countries within themselves. And so whether you're talking about China, India, or the United States, Carlos Slim understands that he's not only the only big guy in Mexico anymore. There are a lot of big guys. And if he wants to continue to win, he needs to collaborate with these entrepreneurs in Mexico that are doing things that actually complement the businesses that Carlos Slim are doing or any one of the other big businesses.
How does corruption shut down innovation in the places where you explored?
Corruption is a problem, I think, throughout the world. And in my chapter on India, I focus in on that with my entrepreneur, Shafi Mather, who starts out developing a for-profit ambulance company because of a personal incident with his mother. And he decided, you know, we need to address this one public service that India as a growing economy should have. When he went to go register for a phone number for this ambulance company, the bureaucrat asked him for a $4,000 bribe. Shafi would not pay it. And the bureaucrat then gave him a number that he thought was something that wouldn't work, a number that he wouldn't remember. And what Shafi did is he took that number, which was 1298, and he decided that he was going to tell the story. Because at that point, he realized that the reason that there weren't these working public services, the reason there weren't ambulances, is not because people didn't want this ambulance service, it's because of the corruption that's so endemic in India's system. And so he called his company 1298, and when he went out to actually raise money for it and make people aware of it, he told this story. And one of the reasons that you see his company so successful and now actually scaling globally to Singapore and to Dubai is the story that he's told about how if we want good public services, we actually have to have transparency and trust in the system.
What's a more powerful innovation in your experience and in your explorations? Is it the inspired technological idea that produces something that we never could have imagined, or is it one of these ideas that works around an obstacle that's in everybody's way and that releases a kind of pent-up demand that's always been there, but it's only the entrepreneur that can figure out how to unlock it?
That's a great question, John, and I think that really goes to the heart of what I'm trying to do in my book is really make people aware about, you know, think about what entrepreneurship and innovation is. Silicon Valley really showed us that innovation is about creating the microchip and the computer and the iPhone and the tablet and all of these tech gadgets, but it's actually a lot more than that. And the entrepreneurs, the early entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley weren't actually really concerned about, you know, how much these things were and how much their companies were worth. It was actually really focused on what problem am I solving and how am I doing it? What we're seeing around the world is the same thing. We're seeing men and women solve problems within their own country. Necessity is the mother of invention. And I think that we're seeing that around the world.
Elmira Beirazli, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Elmira Beirazli is the author of From the Other Side of the World, Extraordinary Entrepreneurs, Unlikely Places.